It was a few weeks ago when Brenda and I were on our way to meet some friends for dinner. And as we made our way down an unfamiliar road, I pointed to a scenic view which included several beautiful trees, and I just thought, look, this is so beautiful. And we looked at the beauty of God's creation, and it was at that moment when Brenda began to tell me about a time in her life when she finally began to realize that she needed glasses. According to her, there was this time when everything was getting blurry and out of focus, and she remembers looking at trees and couldn't make out the details of the leaves, and she would see signs and wouldn't be able to make out the details of the letters, and so she realized that she needed glasses. Thankfully, a quick trip to the optometrist resulted in a pair of glasses which fixed her focus so that she could clearly see. I'm thankful that she got those glasses, but I'm also thankful that her vision wasn't corrected until after she married me. I remember her coming home one day after she got the glasses, and she saw me for the first time with those glasses on, and she just thought, Wookie here. And there's... Chances are we all know someone who needs corrective lenses. We all know someone who needs glasses or contact lenses so that they can clearly see the world in which we live. At the same time, I'm sure we all know someone who would rather suffer from their failing eyesight than to actually wear the corrective lenses that they need. Chances are you know someone, or maybe you are that person who's like, I really don't need glasses. And you just walk around squinting all the time and seeing everything just real blurry. Now, it's in a similar yet spiritual way that I believe that there are many believers out there who are struggling to see, spiritually speaking, simply because they won't wear the corrective lenses of God's Word. I believe that there are many Christians in the world today who are struggling to see clearly what God's will is for their life because they put the Word of God to the side. They won't allow the corrective lens of the Lord's Word to fix their focus. Well, here in our study today, we find the Lord. He's actually sending the prophet Jeremiah to present the Word of God to the people of God so that they might begin to fix their focus on the will of God. And as we make our way through our text today, we're going to discover that we too as Christians here in the 21st century can fix our focus so that we can clearly see the will of God. We're going to see, first of all, that we too can fix our focus when we behold what the Lord sees. Secondly, we'll learn that we can also fix our focus when we behold what the Lord says. And thirdly and finally, this morning, we'll learn that we can fix our focus when we behold whom the Lord sends. Well, with this as our outline, let's open our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23, where we find the Lord. He's directing the people of Judah to fix their focus by first beholding what the Lord sees. As you make your way to Jeremiah 23, I want to continue to set the stage for our text today. I want to do that by reminding you about the messianic prophecy that we found in the first six verses of this chapter. Remember, it was in our study last week that we found the prophet of God. He was pointing his people to the King of Righteousness who would eventually come and save Judah. Unfortunately, the people of Judah at that point in time, well, they weren't really interested in what Jeremiah had to say. They weren't listening to the prophet that God sent them. And the reason why is because they were listening to the false prophets and the fallen priests who were telling them that everything was going to be okay. They didn't really believe that they needed a Messiah. They didn't believe that they needed a Savior. As a result, they were rejecting Jeremiah's prophecy about the coming King who would save them. That being the case, the Lord directed Jeremiah to go and discredit the faulty visions of those false prophets. And he instructed Jeremiah to expose the darkness of those sinful priests by shedding the light of truth on their lies so that the people of God could fix their focus and see what the Lord sees. With this as his goal, the Lord sent his servant to call the people of Judah to behold the truth of God by receiving the prophetic vision that he had been given. And with this as our focus, I want to continue to make our way through Jeremiah chapter 23. Here in our text today, we're going to begin reading there at verse 7. There Jeremiah writes, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." I want to stop right here so that we can take a moment to consider the way that the Lord was attempting to fix the focus of his people. The first thing that I should point out is the word behold found right here in our text. It's right there in verse 7. This word behold, well, it's designed to capture the attention of an audience so that the speaker can begin to fix their focus on the subject of interest. And so when a speaker says behold something, they're saying, hey, fix your focus on this. For example, when Governor Pilate brought Jesus before his accusers, he declared, "Behold the man." Fix your focus on the man. Or how about when Ambassador Conant declared this? He said, "Behold the turtle. He makes progress only when he sticks his neck out." Or who can forget what Colonel Sanders said when he declared, "Behold, this chicken sure is finger-licking good." Now, it's interesting to note here that this word behold, it's actually found 593 times in the New King James Version of the Bible. 593 times you'll find someone saying, "Behold this thing," or "Behold this person." And here in our text today, we actually find this word being used 7 different times, beginning with this command found here in verse 7, where the Lord declares, "Behold, the days are coming." In this way, the Lord was attempting to fix the focus of his people on the events that were about to transpire right there in the land of Judah. He's saying, "Behold what's about to come upon you. Behold what's about to occur in your land." You see, the Lord was trying to help his people to see what they couldn't see, which is the future. In order to prove my point, if you would look with me again there at verse 7, there the Lord declares, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord." Or in other words, the Lord was attempting to help his people to catch a glimpse of the future. And according to the prophetic promise found here in our text today, this vision of the future, it contains some good news. And yet at the same time, it contains some bad news. The good news, well, it was based on the fact that the Lord was prophetically pointing them to the day when the nation of Israel would be freed from their captivity and they would be allowed to return to the land of promise. The bad news is they were in captivity and they were slaves of the Assyrians. And listen, this wasn't the first time that Jeremiah had presented this prophetic promise about the day when Israel would be released from their captivity. As a matter of fact, if you would hold your place here in Jeremiah chapter 23, and let's turn back to Jeremiah chapter 16. It's there in Jeremiah 16 where we find the prophet of God. He's basically proclaiming the same promise to the people. As you locate Jeremiah 16, I'd like you to direct your attention to verse 14. There in Jeremiah 16, verse 14, Jeremiah declares, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them, for I will bring them back into their land, which I gave to their fathers." Now, here in these verses, we learn that Jeremiah had already presented the people of Judah with the same exact prophecy which we find in our text today. What this means is that the Lord had already given these people plenty of time to fix their focus on the future. He had given them plenty of time to fix their focus on what the Lord sees. And what the Lord could see was a day when the people of Israel, they would no longer talk about the way that the Lord released them from Egypt, but rather they would talk about the day when the Lord released them from their Assyrian captivity. And so the Lord's saying, hey, behold. Behold, the days are coming. Well, we have to understand that the days were also coming when the people of Judah would end up in captivity. He was saying, behold, the days are coming when you're going to be taken away as slaves. And this is exactly what Jeremiah is telling us here in chapter 23. If you would, let's turn back to Jeremiah chapter 23. I want to continue to make our way through our text, beginning there at verse 9, because there Jeremiah declares, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of a curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil, and their might is not right. Now here in these verses, we find the prophet Jeremiah. He's describing the way in which his heart was broken. And his heart was broken because the people of Judah, they preferred the phony prophecies of the false prophets to the true prophetic word of God. As a result, they were rejecting the clear instructions of God's holy word. Instead, the people were pursuing their own profane pleasures. They were pursuing the profane pleasures of the pagan religions. And according to the Lord, the people of Judah, they were happily following after their blind leaders. They didn't want to behold what the Lord sees. They wanted to behold what their false prophets were telling them. With this in mind, look with me again there at verse 11. There the Lord declares, for both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them, for I will bring disaster on them the year of their punishment, says the Lord. Now here in these verses, we find the Lord describing the false prophets and the priests of Judah as being profane people. He's saying, hey, the prophets that you're listening to, the priests that you're following after, they are all profane. It'll help us to understand that this word profane here in this context, it's being used to refer to moral corruption and even spiritual pollution. What this tells us is that the people of Judah were following religious leaders who were unable to lead them into the light of spiritual truth, and the reason why is because they were walking on slippery paths and heading into darkness. If you're following someone who's walking down a slippery slope into darkness, you better believe that you're not going to be able to see what you need to see. As a matter of fact, this is exactly what the Lord was saying here in verse 12. Notice again where he told Jeremiah that their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them. They'll be driven on in darkness and they will fall in darkness. And then he says, I will bring disaster on them the year of their punishment, says the Lord. Now, the Lord's not only referring to the slippery ways of these false prophets, but he's also helping Jeremiah to understand that these false prophets were leading the people of God into spiritual darkness. And in this spiritual darkness, the people of Judah were unable to see that the day of their punishment was about to come upon them. And though the Lord was saying, behold, you're about to be punished, they couldn't see it. The Lord wanted them to fix their focus so that they could see the punishment that they were headed towards. But they couldn't see it because they were following blind guides who were leading them into darkness. Thankfully, Jeremiah, he wasn't blinded by these false prophets. And not only that, but he was doing everything that he could to help his people to fix their focus on what the Lord was trying to show them. And with this in mind, if you would look with me there at verse 13, there we find the Lord. He's actually telling the people of Judah through the prophet Jeremiah what he could see. And beginning there at verse 13, he says, I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Here in these verses, we find the Lord comparing the blindness of Judah to the blindness that had occurred in the kingdom of Israel. Remember, the people of God had been divided into two kingdoms at this point in time. There was the northern tribes of Israel and the southern tribes of Judah. And he assures the people here that he could see that their rebellion was just like the rebellion that the people of Israel had walked in prior to their captivity. And he assures the people of Judah here that he was not only able to see how his people were happily following those false prophets in Israel just prior to their captivity, but he could also see how the people of Judah were happily following their false prophecies that were presented by their false prophets. And just as the nation of Israel ended up being conquered by the Assyrian army, the Lord wanted the people to understand that they were headed towards the same end. And he's saying, you might not be able to see this, but I can see it. And if you would just listen to me, then you could see it too. You are headed towards destruction. In order to prove my point, notice with me again there at the end of verse 14. There the Lord compares the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now that's a diss. He's comparing his people. He's comparing the northern tribes and the southern tribes to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now remember, Sodom and Gomorrah was a place that was so entirely given over to every wicked sin that the Lord ended up destroying these cities by showering it with burning sulfur. When the Lord decides to destroy your city with burning sulfur, let's just put it this way, he hasn't yet destroyed America with burning sulfur, and this is a pretty wicked country. And so Sodom and Gomorrah, way worse. That he came to the day where the Lord said, now it's time to destroy these people by raining down burning sulfur upon them. And now here the Lord is saying, hey, Israel and Judah, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. What does that mean? Well, it meant that the Lord was going to destroy them, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. What's even worse is that the people of Judah, they couldn't see that they had become that bad. They couldn't see that they had become that wicked. And part of the reason why is due to the fact that they had been blinded by the lies of their false prophets. That's right, the false prophets of Judah were assuring the people that the Lord wouldn't punish them, but rather that the Lord was going to bless them. They were prophetically promising times of peace and prosperity rather than punishment and destruction. As a result, the people of Judah, they continue to pursue their own profane pleasures without repentance. Why would they need to repent if the prophets were telling them that peace and prosperity was about to come upon them? As a result, the people of Judah, they continue to pursue their profane pleasures. They continued to live a life of unrepentance without fear. As a matter of fact, look with me beginning at verse 15. There Jeremiah writes, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. From the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. He's saying, hey, from these prophets, because of their false prophecies, profanity has gone out into all the land. All the people were pursuing their own profane pleasures simply because they were following their blind guides. And in verse 16, the Lord of hosts says, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own hearts, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. Now here in these verses, we find the Lord, he's once again encouraging the people of Judah to behold something that he was about to do. In this way, he was directing their attention to the day when he would feed their false prophets with the bitterness of wormwood. And so there in verse 15, he declares, behold, fix your focus on this. There's coming a day when I will take your false prophets and I will force feed them wormwood. He also tells them that he's going to force feed them gall. Now, both of these things, wormwood and gall, these were bitter-tasting poisons. And so simply put, the Lord was assuring Jeremiah that those prophets who were promising peace and prosperity to the unrepentant people of Judah would eventually find themselves filled with the poisonous bitterness of wormwood and gall. And this bitterness would come upon them on the day of their destruction because they would realize, as well as the rest of the people of Judah, they would all realize that those prophets were false, that there was no peace and safety, there was no prosperity, there was only the punishment of God. Then after describing the punishment of these false prophets, the Lord also attempted to help the people of Judah to understand that the prophecies of these false prophets was nothing more than the visions of these sinful men which they had devised within their own hearts. He tells them, hey, they're just telling you whatever they feel like telling you. They're just presenting their own dreams and desires. And they're just saying, oh, it's the word of God. But it wasn't. It was just their own vision. Now, the word vision that's found there in verse 16, it actually comes from a Hebrew word which was used to refer to the divine communications which would come from the Lord. And so that's what they're saying. They're saying we received a vision from the Lord. We received divine communication from the Lord. And yet, according to the Lord, he's saying, hey, I'm not the source of their visions. Their own heart, that was the source of their visions. Now from this, I want to take a moment to remind you that the Lord alone is able to see the end from the beginning. The Scriptures are proof of that. We see throughout the Scriptures the Lord saying, this is going to happen, and then later on in history we see that that actually happened. The Lord alone is able to see the end from the beginning. The Lord alone is the one who can give us true visions about the future. And with that being the case, the person who claims to have vision about the future, well, they've either fixed their focus on something that God has shown them, or they're like a blind man who insists, I can see. They've either received divine communication from God about the future, or they're just like a blind man who insists that they can see what's right before them. The latter is exactly what the false prophets of Judah were. They were like blind men who were insisting, I can see. They were spiritually blind, and yet they had somehow convinced the people of God that they could indeed see the future. It's sad to say that the people of Judah, they preferred the beautiful lies of their false prophets to the righteous rebukes and the prophetic warnings that were being presented by the prophet Jeremiah. You see, the prophet Jeremiah was saying, destruction's coming. The punishment of God is coming. And then the false prophets were saying, peace, prosperity, everything's fine. And as the people listened to both, well, they preferred the promises of peace and prosperity to the promise of punishment. They chose their prophets based on how they felt about what the prophets were saying. And while the Lord was attempting to show them that their spiritual adulteries would eventually result in their destruction, while he was attempting to help them to fix their focus on the future as he saw it, the people of Judah refused to fix their focus on the visions that the Lord had given to Jeremiah. See, Jeremiah was the only prophet who was being given the visions that they needed to hear at this period in time. And while they should have listened to the word of Jeremiah, they instead continued to follow their blind guides who were driving them forward into darkness and leading them with prophetic lies about peace and prosperity. They were listening to the wrong guys. And this brings us to our second point, because listen, the people of Judah not only failed to fix their focus because they refused to behold what the Lord sees, but they also failed to fix their focus because they refused to behold what the Lord says. Now, with this in mind, let's continue to make our way through our text today. And so if you would look with me, beginning there at verse 18, there Jeremiah poses a few important questions to the people of Judah by asking, "For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it?" In other words, Jeremiah was asking the people of Judah, "Hey, which of the prophets that you're listening to are actually receiving the counsel of the Lord?" Or more simply put, he's saying, which of the prophets are actually living according to the Word of God? From this, we must understand that the Word of God is the perfect litmus test for recognizing a true prophet of God. We use the Word of God to test those who claim to speak for God. And as we consider Jeremiah's questions here, he seems to have been encouraging the people of Judah, hey, listen to your prophets. Listen to what they're saying. And then go see if it lines up with God's word. Listen to what they're promising you. Look at how they're living. And then go see if all that lines up with the word of God. In this way, Jeremiah was hoping that they would finally realize that the promises of their prophets were actually in complete contradiction to the Word of God which had been previously presented. In order to prove my point, I'll remind you that the Lord had already revealed through Moses that the righteous wrath of God would fall upon his people if they began to pursue the false gods of the pagan nations. The Lord had already promised this in the first five books of the Old Testament, which is commonly called the Torah. We find the Lord promising to punish the people of God if they worshiped false gods. Not only that, but the Lord also sent the prophet Isaiah about 100 years before Jeremiah, and he spoke through the prophet Isaiah and assured the people of Judah through the prophet Isaiah that they needed to repent of their idolatries or else he would punish them according to the law of Moses. And yet, despite the clear instructions of God's word, the false prophets were still promising peace and prosperity, despite the fact that the people of Judah were not repenting. The people of Judah were continuing to pursue their profane pleasures while the prophets continued to promise that God was going to bless it. And this was in complete contradiction with the Word of God. So Jeremiah is saying, compare it. Which of these prophets have actually stood in the counsel of God? Which one of them are actually repeating the clear instructions of God's Word? And as we compare the words of the false prophets to the word of God, it should be obvious to us here that the words of those false prophets were completely contradictory to God's word. With that, we must understand, God's word is always right. God's word has always been proven to be right, and it will always be proven to be right. That being the case, those who contradict the Word of God will always be proven to be wrong. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But eventually, they will be proven wrong. That being the case, I think that we should always test every teacher. And I'm pointing that finger right at myself. We should always test every teacher according to what the Word of God says. And if you're listening to a teacher who is saying something that is in contradiction to the Word of God is right, and that teacher is wrong. It is that plain and it is that simple. And with that being the case, Jeremiah was attempting to fix the focus of his people by encouraging them, behold the Word of God. Fix your focus on the Word of God and then test those prophets that you're listening to see if they're right. As a matter of fact, with this in mind, if you would look with me, beginning there at verse 19, because there Jeremiah actually declares, "Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly." Here in these verses, we find the prophet Jeremiah. He's encouraging the people of Judah to fix their focus on the whirlwind of fury that was about to fall upon their heads. He's saying, hey, fix your focus on this whirlwind that's about to come. Fix your focus on this whirlwind that's about to destroy you. Now, it'll help you understand that this it seems to be a reference to a few prophecies from Isaiah. You see, Isaiah, several times, he described the righteous wrath of God as a whirlwind that will sweep away the wicked like chaff. And so, after pointing people back to the counsel of God, it seems like Jeremiah is saying, hey, remember what Isaiah told us about 100 years ago. That God's wrath will come through Israel like a whirlwind, and it will sweep away the chaff. Jeremiah seems to be attempting to remind them of the word of God, which came through the prophet Isaiah. Then beginning at verse 21, the Lord confirms what Jeremiah was saying by declaring, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from their evil doings." Here in these verses, we find the Lord confirming Jeremiah's accusations against the false prophets of Judah, and he did this by assuring the people that those prophets who were out there contradicting Jeremiah, they were actually men who had failed to receive the counsel of God's word. And so the Lord is saying through Jeremiah, hey, these people didn't receive my counsel. I didn't send them with this message. I'm not promising peace and prosperity. That being the case, these false prophets were actually failing to fix the focus of God's people on God's word. Instead, they were leading the people of Judah with their own wicked words. They were causing the people of God to fix their focus on false prophecies. And according to the Lord, well, the wicked words of those false prophets, it was resulting in widespread wickedness. Their false prophecies were causing the people to think we can do whatever we want and we'll just wait on the peace and the prosperity of God to come. Now, as we consider the way in which these false prophets were choosing to ignore the word of God, I can't help but to think about all the people in the world today who also think they know better than God. I mean, the world is filled with people who think they know better than God. Rather than living their life according to the holy word of God, which always proves to be true, these people are quick to follow after the desires of their own foolish hearts. They think that after so many years on this earth, they've figured it out. They've got it all together. And they think they can ignore God's word and what it says. Oftentimes, they find someone who tells them what they want to hear, and much like the false prophets in Judah, they follow after these blind guides, thinking that they're going to be okay. However, at the end of the day, the word of God will always be proven true. At the end of the day, the word of God will always be the standard. Therefore, listen. It's the lens of God's word that can help us to clearly see the Lord's will for our life. If you want to clearly see what God's will is for you, if you want to clearly see what he's leading us to do, we must be spending time in the word of God. At the same time, those who are rejecting the word of the Lord, they will also fail to realize that the word of the Lord, which is able to fix our focus, is the same word which will also end up crushing the hardened hearts of those who are too proud to hear it. This is exactly what the Lord was attempting to help these false prophets of Judah to understand before it was too late. In an attempt to fix their focus, the Lord warned those prophets about the day of their destruction. And with this in mind, notice with me, I want to start reading there, verse 23. There the Lord asks, "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places? So I shall not see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor." Now, here in these verses we find the Lord, he's reminding these false prophets that he's the one who's truly in charge of heaven and earth. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning. And not only was the God of Israel reminding these false prophets that he alone is the Lord of heaven and earth, but he's also reminding them that he's also the one who's able to hear every word that these false prophets were proclaiming. He says, hey, I'm not just a God who's near, but I'm far off. It's as if these false prophets thought, well, once I leave Israel, I can say whatever I want, God won't hear. He's the God of Israel and not the God somewhere else. You say, oh, no, no, no. I'm just not here in Israel. I'm everywhere. He reminds them, I fill heaven and earth, and I hear every word you say. These false prophets truly believed that they would get away with all their deceptive ways, and yet the Lord assures them that his word would end up becoming to them like a hammer that crushes stone. It's as if God was saying, it's hammer time. That's horrible. God would never say that. But he's saying, my word that you're rejecting will actually become the very hammer that crushes you. The Word of God, it can be this source of healing. It can be like a scalpel that cuts out cancers from our life. It can be like a sword that helps us to understand the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Or it can be like a hammer that will crush us. It can be like a fire that will consume us and burn away the chaff. Just depends on whether we'll receive it or not. And it was the false prophets of the people here in Judah that the Lord's saying, hey, you reject my word now, it will crush you later. Then after presenting those false prophets with these prophetic promises of punishment, the Lord directed them once again to behold or fix their focus on the fact that the Lord God of heaven and earth is against the prophets who steal the words of another man and then attribute those words to the Lord. Notice with me again there at verse 30. There the Lord declares, behold, I am against the prophets. Or in other words, fix your focus on this fact. I am against those prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. From this we can see how these false prophets, they were stealing words from their neighbors. In other words, they were just parroting the prophecies that they heard some other guy say. They heard, you know, someone who was this profound speaker, and they thought, wow, that sounds really good. I'll add that to my repertoire. And they would steal the words from another prophet down the road, and then they would take off and they would go repeat those words, thinking that they had done something really cool. And they would say, thus saith the Lord, and attribute those ideas to the Lord. And the Lord saying, oh, no, no. I'm against these prophets. And with this, I can't help but to think about how many pastors in the world today spend all their week doing whatever they want to do, and then Saturday night they go to one of those sermon notes websites and download a sermon that someone else wrote. Then they get up on Sunday morning and preach it as if the Lord had given it to them. They're just mailing it in. They're not speaking from what God had given them. They're speaking what maybe God gave to somebody else or what somebody else just invented. And it's sad to say that many of those notes are filled with false doctrines. And so these teachers go and download a sermon that someone else wrote with false doctrines in it, and they get up on Sunday morning and they give that same message, and they're just stealing from their neighbor and saying things that the Lord never said. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you follow. Make sure they're not a blind guide and a false teacher. You see, the Lord is against those prophets who get up and speak messages that have been stolen from their neighbors. Rather than pointing the people of God to the Word of God, these false prophets were pointing the people of God to false quotes and false prophecies from some other false prophets. It's for this reason that the Lord told them to fix their focus on the fact that He was going to stand against the false prophets who were causing His people to walk in spiritual blindness simply because they just wanted to parrot the false prophecies of another prophet. Not only that, but the Lord was also against the false prophets who were rejecting the true prophets who were sent by God. And this brings us to our third point, because listen, the people of Judah not only failed to fix their focus because they refused to behold what the Lord sees, and they not only failed to fix their focus because they refused to behold what the Lord says, but they also failed to fix their focus because they refused to behold whom the Lord sent. With this in mind, let's continue to make our way through our text today. If you would, look with me beginning at verse 31. There Jeremiah writes, "Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, 'He says.' Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord." So when these people or the prophet or the priest ask you, saying, "What is the oracle of the Lord?" you shall say to them, "What oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord." And as for the prophet and the priest and the people who say, "The oracle of the Lord," I will even punish that man and his house. Now as we read these verses, you're probably wondering, what in the world is he talking about? Well, here we find the Lord. He's directing the false prophets of Judah to behold two more important truths. And in this way, he wanted them to fix their focus on the fact that he is against the prophets who attribute their lies to the name of the Lord. And not only that, but he wanted them to fix their focus on the fact that he was against the prophets who were causing the people to wander away from the narrow path of truth because they were espousing their lies. That's right, they were out just presenting lies, saying that they had received a dream from the Lord when they hadn't received a dream from the Lord. And if that wasn't bad enough, these false prophets were also mocking the true prophet of God, Jeremiah. Notice again there at verse 33. There the Lord declares, "So when these people or the prophet or the priest ask you, saying," or in other words, he's saying, "Hey, Jeremiah, when the people come to you, or if a prophet comes to you, or if a priest comes to you and begins to ask you about the oracle of the Lord, then say to them, 'What oracle? I will even forsake you,' says the Lord." Helps us to understand that the word oracle in this context, it's being used to refer to the prophetic rebuke of the Lord. And while it's true that the Lord sent Jeremiah many prophetic rebukes to give to the people of Judah, it's also true that, well, he had been given so much to share with these people that the people started making fun of him. Here comes Jeremiah again with the oracle of God. What's he going to say this time? Or, "Hey, Jeremiah, what did you say last time? Remind us of that last one." Ha, 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 ha. They mocked him. Made fun of him. And in this way, they only showed that they were rejecting the true prophet of God whom the Lord had sent. Beginning there at verse 34, the Lord goes on to declare, "As for the prophet and the priest and the people who say the oracle of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house." In other words, the Lord was letting Jeremiah know that though these people were going to come and mock him, and though these people were going to come and make fun of him for proclaiming the prophetic rebukes that he had been given, the Lord's saying, don't worry. When they turn around and say, oh no, Jeremiah doesn't have the oracle of the Lord, I do, God says, I'm going to punish them for it. The Lord is going to punish those false prophets who rejected the true prophet of God and turned around and claimed to be the true prophet of God. And beginning at verse 35, the Lord wrapped up this prophetic rebuke by declaring, thus every one of you shall say to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what has the Lord answered and what has the Lord spoken? And the oracle of the Lord you shall mention no more, for every man's word will be his oracle, for you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you, and what has the Lord spoken? But since you say the oracle of the Lord, therefore thus says the Lord, because you say this word, the oracle of the Lord, and I have sent to you saying, do not say the oracle of the Lord, therefore behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you and forsake you and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and will cast you out of my presence, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Here in the final verses of this chapter, we find the Lord. He's now sending Jeremiah to go and tell the false prophets of Judah, shut your mouth. Quit saying that you have the oracle of the Lord. You don't. Now, the translation here in the New King James Version, it's a little clunky, and so I just want to sum up these final verses by explaining it like this. The Lord was simply telling the priests and the false prophets of Judah that they needed to close their mouths and accept Jeremiah's prophetic rebuke or suffer the consequences. He's saying, hey, Jeremiah, I'm not going to send you to present the oracle of the Lord anymore. They need to just accept what they've heard before they're destroyed. And this prophetic rebuke included the command to stop claiming to be speaking for the Lord. Now from this we must understand that God was calling these people to accept the prophet that he had confirmed. He was telling these people to accept the prophet that he had sent. And from this we must understand that true prophecy has never come by the will of man. You don't just stand up and say, oh, I've got a prophecy. If the Lord hasn't given you a prophecy, you don't have a prophecy. True prophecy has always come through the holy man of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the true source of prophecy. With that being the case, those who want to fix their focus so that they can clearly see the will of God should make sure that we are beholding the words of those whom the Lord actually sent. Now that's a daunting task. How do we go through and determine who the Lord sent and who the Lord hasn't sent? Well, allow me to narrow the scope of our focus here. And I want to do that by arguing that those who want to fix their focus by receiving those whom the Lord has sent must first behold the one that we know he sent, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, all of the Old Testament prophets who were confirmed by God all pointed to Jesus Christ. And with this as our focus, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, because there we find Jesus. He's actually clearly revealing the nature of his ministry through the writings of the Old Testament prophets. It's in Luke 24 where we find two of Jesus' disciples. They're traveling on a road, which they're headed to a place called Emmaus. As they walked down the road, they discussed the recent death of Jesus, and they were also discussing the rumors that they had heard that he had risen from the grave. It was about this time when Jesus came alongside of them, and he asked them about their conversation. For some reason, they didn't recognize who he was, and don't really have an explanation for as to why. Maybe Jesus resurrected body is a little different from the body that he had prior to his death. But for whatever reason, they didn't recognize the Lord. And not recognizing him, they began to talk to him as if he was a stranger. And they began to explain about Jesus and what he had done and how he had been crucified and the rumors that he had risen from the grave. And in response to their discussion, Jesus began to reveal his identity to them through the writings of the Old Testament prophets. He didn't say, "Hey, I'm Jesus. You know, here I am." No. He said, "Hey, let's go back in the Old Testament. And let's consider what the prophets wrote." With this in mind, look with me there at Luke 24. I want to begin reading at verse 25. Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him." Now Moses represents those first five books, the Torah, or the law. And then the prophets, that's a reference to the rest of the Old Testament. And so he's saying, hey, beginning at Moses, the law, and then working through all of the prophets, he expounded. He taught a Bible study to these guys. He expounded the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Jesus was helping two of his disciples here to realize that all of the Old Testament prophets, including Jeremiah, all of them were pointing the people of God to the Messiah. And he went on to reveal that he is, in fact, that promised Messiah. That being the case, the person who wants to fix their focus so that they can clearly see the will of God, well, we ought to first receive the promised Savior of God. The person who wants to fix their focus so that we can clearly see the will of God. Listen, we must first behold what the Lord sees by accepting the revelation that he's given to us through his holy prophets. We must behold what the Lord says by reading his word and applying his teachings to our life. And we must, most importantly, behold whom the Lord has sent by trusting the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. Then, as we walk by faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, he will begin to fix our focus. He will begin to adjust our spiritual sight so that we can clearly see what God's will is for our life. Let's pray.